Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
You know, and I believe that we all have three options today, and those options are that we can lose ground, or we can maintain our ground, or we can gain ground. And I want to talk to you this morning just about gaining ground. You know, we've got to stay on track. We've got to stay on course. We've got to stay consistent. We've got to be ready to do whatever it takes in life. Anybody in here ever accomplished something that was just incredible to accomplish it, but it required that whatever it takes kind of attitude and mentality? Has anybody ever? Well, man, you understand that, man, that's the kind of life that God's called us to live. And we just have to determine if we're ready to gain ground or not. I think gaining ground is a decision that we have to make. And what's easy in James 4:7, because we've got an adversary. We've got an enemy that's trying to prohibit us from gaining ground. And that might be in your finances. That might be in your health. That might be in your relationships. Man, I realize that there's some parts of my life that, man, I'm all about gaining ground, and my switch is on go, and man, my tempo's quick. But then there's other areas of my life where I've got to really look at those areas and think, wait a second, I've just been maintaining, or maybe I'm losing ground. There's one area in my life recently I realized I was losing ground, and it was a big wake-up call for me. And in James 4:7, it says, therefore, submit to God, or in my Bible, I've written God's word above submit to God. Submit to God's word, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we have an adversary, but all we have to do is submit ourselves to God's promise, to submit ourselves to God's word, and resist him, and he has to flee. God's plan for our lives is blessing, and that's 100%. I'm telling you, drill that deep into the core of who you are. Man, God's plan for our lives is blessing, and we have to understand that. He's created everything on earth for us to enjoy. But the enemy of our souls, he's going to try to deceive us and distort our thinking and how we see things. You know, maybe the way you see things is distorted and it doesn't look like there's blessing ahead. But the bottom line is we have to believe that God's plan for our lives is blessing. And you know what? If I were you, I'd write that in my notes. I'd make sure that was in my phone. It was in my notes because it needs to be a daily reminder. Look, God wants to bless you. God has blessings in store for you today. So I want to give you four easy keys to gaining ground. Four easy keys. And the first one is probably 95% of it. You know, if I could have a pie chart, if I was one of those preachers that had visual aids, I'd have a pie chart up on that screen, and 95% of that pie would be number one. And number one is you have to believe that you can. You have to believe you can. You know, it's real simple. The Bible's real clear that all things are possible to he who believes. And that's what we have to have that in a deep understanding in us is I believe I can. I mean, if you were, You think about it. If you were a baseball player, man, I believe I could put this ball into play. Or I believe I can get this guy to ground out. I believe I can. See, confidence is so much. I know that, you know, I play a little golf, and if you're a golfer and you've got a hazard in front of you, there's water in front of you, or there's traps around the green. If you're concentrating on that water, you very well might hit the ball into it. And if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't hit it in that water, let me just tell you something. These guys, these PGA golfers, they're not concerned about that water. And even sometimes they hit into it. But you know what? They've got a different focus and they've got a different target. And you know what? I think they believe that they can. So number one is I believe that I can. No matter what your situation is, you can gain ground. That's the attitude that you have to take. No matter what the situation, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're in, you're able to gain ground. And even if it's just little by little, and I'm just telling you, that matters, because I believe God can exponentially speed it up. Man, let's talk about marriage for a minute. Man, maybe your marriage is just sideways. Maybe you've kind of rolled in the ditch. Man, little by little, you could get that relationship out of the ditch, but you've got to believe that you can. You got to believe. You can't give up. You can't quit. You can't throw in the towel. Man, there's too many people. It's too easy in our society today to throw in the towel. You know what we've got to do? Man, we've got to be those who overcome. We've got to be those who've decided, you know what? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to have a great marriage. Whatever it takes, my kids are going to serve the Lord. Whatever it takes, my kids are going to marry the right person. Whatever it takes, I'm going to pay off my debt. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be fit, and I'm going to serve God for the length of my days, and I'm not going to wear out, and I'm not going to die with a bullet in my back. None of the quitting things. We're not going to cut and run. We don't run. Man, we are people that stand and stand firm. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You have to speak it. But you shall meditate in it, not meditate on it. You meditate in it. But Vanessa, you have to get into the word. What we have, and I brought up Vanessa to Sandy, the people, Janet, you've been a Christian a long time. So you know what? We can meditate on the word a lot. It's real easy for me. I would never have to crack the Bible again, and I could spend the rest of my life meditating on the word. But you know what? That's not what the Bible says. We have to meditate in it. I've got to get in it. I've got to dig into it. Man, I've got to read it. And you know what? I believe read it carefully. Read it like there is a treasure. There's something in there that if I just callously and flippantly just rifle through it, I'm not going to get it. Man, I want to get all that I can from God's promise and all that I can from God's word. Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now listen to this. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. God's promise, all of his promises, this promise here enables you to make your way prosperous and you to have good success. See, I mean, I think there's a lot of people, you're meditating on the word and it's casual. You're meditating on the word, and it's just this average approach to serving God. Yeah, I know, a little splash of denim today. I don't know if you guys got the memo. I noticed that some of you guys are thinking, is it denim day today? Scott, you're wondering, you're out of place. You feel out of place today, don't you, Scott? Because this is a splash of denim day today. But see, we have to believe that we can. Sandy, you got to believe you can. Man, I'm telling you, the call of God that's on your life. See, let me tell you how this works, us believing that we can. Here's what factors in. We think about the call of God, and I'm so appreciative of the call of God on my life. I'm appreciative of the call of God on Sandy. I'm appreciative of the call of God that's on Zach's life. But listen, man, that's a component in who we are. See, the other things are, listen, our education, our experience, the atmosphere of our life, and our personality. Man, you think about it, those five things. Man, some of you guys are you're shy and you're quiet. Well, you got to get a little louder. Some of you guys are super loud. You got to get a little quieter. Man, you got to work on those things. Why? So that the call can rise to the top. Sometimes we have to work on our personality. Sometimes we come in and we're awkward because we come on too strong, or maybe we hold our tongue way too much. The Bible doesn't say to hold our tongue, but the Bible does say be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. Number two is less becomes more. I believe this is a huge key, a huge component of gaining ground. And it's because everything in life to me, everything in business, everything in our financial lives, everything in our health with weight is everything is about margins and leverage, everything, and we have to create margins in our lives. Man, try at some point, maybe go to your house and if you have a printer or man print a document and leave a 2-inch margin at the top and bottom and left and right side of the page, and then print another document and print it without margins. Print the words from border to border on the page. Fill the whole page. It's very difficult to read. It's very difficult. You can't do it quickly. Why? Because, man, margins, listen, create quickness in our lives. And see, there's so many things that if we're slow to speak and quick to hear and slow to wrath, what if we're slow to charge something on to buy something on credit? Man, we're quick to, man, do our research and do our homework, how important this is. Man, so much of our lives, it's just that bad decisions are a knee-jerk reaction to something. We're somewhere and we decide, I need her. I could use something like that. And the next thing you know, you got a closet full of stuff that you could use something like that you never do. And I think it's important for us to have, we have to have margins. And why? Because that then we gain leverage. And let me just tell you something. In life, leverage is everything. What God's promise does for our lives is it gives us leverage. Man, you think about any sports, any athletic, anything that you have. A lot of these teams now, they'll say, hey, they'll win the coin flip, and they'll say, we want to defer to the second half. Well, the other team then, man, they have to take the ball. But what does the team deferring want to do? Man, they want to kick that thing deep into the other team's territory on their side of the field so that they can pin them back. You know what that is? That's leverage. See, leverage is simply this. God's given us a playbook in life. And that playbook is, man, there's commandments in it. He urges us in things. Man, he tells us, don't be deceived, like Chanel talked about this morning. And we, in that playbook then, as much of that playbook as that you can use, man, that gives you leverage. But if you have to start on your own 1-2 or inside your own 5-yard line, you're not going to be able to use the whole playbook. So what do you do, man? What you do is you minimize that playbook for the sure thing. Well, let me explain something to you. Faith to our flesh doesn't feel like a sure thing. Remember, man, for faith, the substance of what we hope for and the evidence of what we don't see. Man, we don't have it substantively in our hands. We can't see it with our natural eyes. We have to believe that we can. I think this is a key. It's a key component in this. So many people strive to make more money just to be able to spend more money. And I think that's a bad plan. I think it's a horrific, horrific plan. You can either consume less or you can burn more. And that's where it starts. But listen, what God does is God backs our play. So you get before God and you say, God, I'm going to begin to consume less and to produce more. Man, I'm gonna begin to consume less and burn more. I'm gonna begin whatever it is, whether it's your finances or it's maybe your health or your fitness. Man, God's gonna back that play, and you know what? Speed it up for you. See, I think so much of this we're just maintaining, and maintaining. Let me just tell you, is an arm's distance away from losing ground. We have to situate our lives to be able to be a blessing. And that requires margins. It really does. Man, I'm in significant prayer right now just about our church property, the attractional side of our church. You know, I know to a lot of people that are committed, it's really not that big a deal. But I remember 5 years ago, Roger Walsh and I were talking. He's an elder here, and he just said, you know, I think we need to make this, keep increasing the value of the experience that people have when they come into our service and come into our room. Well, so you know what we decided? We decided we'd elevate some seating in here. And honestly, is it going to work? I hope so. But hope it's going to be a better experience. People sitting in the back now are lifted and brought closer. So now they're more in the service and more in touch. But see, there's so many other things. Tom Moneypenny, man, and anytime you bring something up about the church property, and man, Tom's given his life to this church. Man, he'll talk about the parking lot. He'll talk about sealing the parking lot. He'll talk about a better flow for people coming in to park and because the bottom line is we want people to have a great experience to be able to come and draw close to God. Man, get as much of God's word and as much of God in them as they possibly can. Well, so we're gonna have a love for the house offering the week before Easter. And just believe God. And it's not one of those where everybody gives a certain amount, but that everyone's generous. And generous to me is that you give what you can. Man, just because we love this place and we love this house and we want it to be easier and better for people to come in and get their lives changed, because that's the bottom line. The bottom line, let me just tell you how the progression of this church operates. The progression of this church is real simple. It's fresh vision. And with that, then that requires strong leadership and growing teams. You know, I love the announcement about Growth Track tonight. Why are we putting that in front of you as much as we are? Because we want to grow our teams. Man, more connectivity and more people involved, and man, people that you're responsible for and you're accountable to, and man, the ebb and flow of it, and then it becomes healthy in your life. You can't do this alone. So what do we try to do? We try to grow teams. But the bottom line is it all leads to changed lives. That's what we give to. Man, that's what we hope for. Man, is that lives are changed. Number three is first things have to be first. And that's God, His Word, His life. We have to keep first things first. I've gotten so much so that I get up in the morning and I'll wake up with just a string of emails and texts and things in my phone, depending on when I turned my phone off the night before. But you know what? Man, something about my flesh, I want to dive into some of it, but no. Man, I want to get in the Word first. I want to make sure that, and listen, that's why I love Sandy's devotion and commitment to the Lord and the covenant she has with God, because, man, the first fruits of all of our increase go to God's house. Man, that tithe is the first thing that leaves our accounts every single month. And you know, I know there's something to that. I know it's line upon line and precept upon precept, and it's steps that we take, but we have to keep first things first and keep God first. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's got a better way to handle it. God's got a better way to obtain it. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, our tithe, our first fruits, our first tenth of all and any of our income, man, has to be first. Man, and then it's peace and us pursuing peace, and that has to be first. And you get into a situation, I get into an argument with Sandy or one of my children or somebody on staff, or it is if I'm pursuing peace at the first of it, man, it changes the whole scenario. In Genesis 28:20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. But you know what? Where we're keeping God first. Every good thing that I have in my life is from God. Every good thing that I have in my life came to me. I can't express this strongly enough. Man, the things that I've scoured the internet and I've gone after everything that I could, man, with everything in me, and I've got it, man, it's probably rusting or dusty or in some storage or attic or maybe even at the dump. But the things that God brought to me, man, God brought Sandy into my life. God brought my kids into my life. God brought the Houstons into my life. God brought the Kennedys into my life. Man, I think God, so many people, God brought Grady into my life. Man, it just happens. God brought the Heffleys into my life. The things that I truly value, God brought to me. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. You know why? He adds things to me. The things that I have need of, the things that I want. Man, and it's not just about getting a better deal on it. It's about value. And number four, we have to proclaim progress. We have to speak progress. And I think that goes back to number one, that we have to believe that we can. Pray the progress from the start. 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called him the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord. no weapon formed against you will prosper. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We just speak the word. And what does the word do? The word prospers our lives. Philippians 1, 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Man, what's holding us back? We have to proclaim and profess and speak the progress, the gaining ground in our lives. Man, Paul wrote to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now listen, he said, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. What's Paul saying? Fight the good fight of faith. Man, convince, rebuke, exhort. Man, go the extra mile in your life to proclaim God's promise, to proclaim the ground that you're gaining. Man, and you just see what God will do. Man, God's about turning things around in your life. And let me just tell you how that turn is in the twinkling of an eye. But God has to, you have to let God change your heart. This is about change lives, change direction in lives, change the direction of you gaining ground from maintaining and losing ground to gaining ground. Man, I get fed up with the enemy trying to steer my ship. I want to take new ground. I want to gain new ground in my life. I want to gain new ground in this community. I want to gain new ground as a church. I want the people around me gaining new ground. Because, man, just like it was either, the scripture in Galatians 6, is that where you were? Galatians 6 says that you share in what's preached with who preaches it. Man, you share in the reward. See, we're all linked together. So if we're gaining ground, man, guess what? Man, life gets that much stronger and life gets that much bigger. And let me just tell you, it could become extravagant. What if the love in your marriage became extravagant? Man, what if the peace in your home became extravagant? Man, what if your prosperity became extravagant? Man, what if you truly gained some margins in your life? What if next month, what if you tithe? And then you know what you did? You put 10% in a savings account, you paid yourself. And then you lived off the rest. And then you know what God's going to do? God's going to show you God's going to bless you, and then you can live on, man, that percentage in the middle becomes less and less, and you could tithe more, and then you could save more, and then it becomes less and less, and then next thing you know, man, you've got accounts in heaven that are overflowing into your life, and the windows of heaven are open above your life, and the accounts on this earth are overflowing. I'll tell you, Pastor Sandy and I were in Hemet, California, and we heard this guy preaching about God wanting to bless your storehouses. God wants to bless your storehouses. And we're driving home and she said, do we even have a storehouse? And I'm like, we didn't have a savings account at that time. Man, we were young. We had Taylor was a baby and we opened up a savings account. Literally, I want to say a year or two later, we had over $10,000 in that savings account. How did it happen? Man, I had a relative that just said, you know what? Man, this came into my heart and gave everybody in the family money. Man, other things happen. You say, well, that's just serendipitous or that's just a coincidence or God's blessing our storehouse. Man, it's about gaining ground. Are you with me on that? See, that's how we stay on track here. We just choose to gain ground. I'm just going to take new ground. I'm going to text people on Saturday. I'm going to text people on Sunday morning. A little nudge Saturday night or Sunday morning may get someone to church and it may change their lives. And you know what? You might be that person that six or eight people are texting. And then you're thinking, wait a second, what did somebody tell them? No, what if God's just trying to apprehend you by his promise so that you can grab him back? See, that's how you have to look at this. All God wants to do, all God's plan is in your life is to bring you blessing. To get you in a blessed place with blessed people. Man, this isn't just TV preacher speak. Man, this is the heart of God for everyone in here. That your life be such an extravagant blessing that in us, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Man, you think about it. You think about what God wants to do with your life. And you know what? Your personality factors in, and your experiences factor in, and your education factors in, and your the atmosphere of your life, and the call of God on your life. What if we got to the very call of God on your life? What your purpose on this earth? Well, I believe that happens when we begin to gain ground. And I believe it starts in our heart. It starts in the household of faith. I believe God, you let God. God will go through and sift things out of your life and purge things out of your life and cut things out of your life that are just weighing you down. Man, the more I realize, the less that I have and the less that's about of me, the better things are. And that's the truth. Devil wants us focusing on us. He wants us focusing on our needs and what we need to have. And you know, the Bible says that, man, my body's Sandy's and Sandy's body's mine. Just everything about God's word is trying to grab Bill Shear by the ears and turn my gaze off of me and onto others. Everything in my life, it's about other people. That's how we honor God. I'm preaching to the choir here. There's a lot of great people in this room. But you know, I believe these four simple keys can help you begin to gain ground. And whatever you inspect in your life and expect in your life, it's going to start growing in your life. Man, just inspect yourself. What areas of your life are you not in faith? Are you not in trust with God? Let's just get in a place of trust.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.